Welcome to MLB Daily, your one-stop shop for daily baseball content. I am LJ LaFura. Alongside me, I've got Brandon Karam, and we are a Belly Up Sports podcast. We are what they aren't. Brandon, how you doing?
LJ, doing good. Not going to take too long here with the intro, as LJ's got to be out of here in a little less than a half an hour. We have a lot to talk about today, and I believe we're going to start with Royce Lewis, because 10 days ago, LJ and I were talking about Carlos Correa getting put on the injured list and how Royce Lewis would be the new starting shortstop for the Twins. And we said it's Royce Lewis time. This guy was the first overall pick a few years ago. It's really time for him to break out. And we said, let's give it 10 days and we're going to check in on him. We jumped the gun a little bit because both of us picked him at shortstop for our team of the week yesterday. LJ, Royce Lewis check-in, overwhelmingly positive start.
Extremely positive start and a head-scratching decision from the Minnesota Twins. I mean, this guy, he'd really only just begun. We're talking about 11 games for him on the in his cup of coffee, and that's a slash line of 308, 325, 564. Brandon, this year, that's a 162 OPS plus.
That's good.
That's excellent. And it's especially excellent when you consider the fact that this guy was touted for his power. I mean, this was going to be – he was very much a Byron Buxton prototype at shortstop, kind of was the idea I had when I first saw that type of power, those general speed numbers. Certainly not as fast, but overall, like, you could tell that they were building towards a very specific model of player during that era, as Buxton was just coming up and they were drafting Royce Lewis, and the power hadn't come yet until literally this week, his last couple games up in the majors, where he hits not only two home runs, but two absolutely monster shots. Like, they went way out. These were no short porchers.
No, absolutely. And LJ, since he has been sent back down to AAA, last night he was 3-for-3 with a home run. He's just continuing to rake, and pretty amazing that we both pick him for team of the week and he's not even on a roster anymore. I mean, I find it hard to really figure out why the Twins only have a three-man bench, and two of those guys are outfielders. Like, they don't have a bench infielder. It's strange to me. And I don't want to doubt a lot of what they're doing, because they are 22-16 or whatever, and like three games up in the Central, I think. But it's just strange.
I mean, Brandon, sometimes you got to call it what you see, like you see it. This is just dumb. This is outright dumb, because this is one of the top prospects. Like, you're talking about him as a top one or two prospect in their organization, had it not been for him missing 2020 and then tearing his ACL in 2021. Like, had it not been for those injuries, you're looking at a much higher regarded prospect for them. And you're not going to give him that respect. You're not going to give him the reward of that, especially when he's clearly earned it here on the major league level. This is a terrific — we don't see many cups of coffee better than that, because these types of cups of coffee usually turn into major league time. Like, this cup of coffee should have turned him into a major leaguer.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Especially when it's your first time up in the bigs and your team used the number one overall pick on you. It's certainly questionable. But
it's maddening, and it's also, like, I just need to, before we move on here, and I'm not trying to take a shot at him here, but it's a fair assessment here. Gio Urshela is not providing even what he's supposed to be providing. Like, no, I'm not trying to get Brandon mad right now. Offensively, he clearly is not the player that was his peak in New York.
Yeah.
those 2 years in New York were clearly his peak. He's back to his mean, where he really should be, and that's around, 88 OPS plus. That's fine. We're talking about an 80. I think that's fair, especially when you consider his first two full, or two of his first 3 full years, he was in the 60s. So him developing into his 30s into an 80, high 80s, 90 OPS plus guy, that's great, but he's supposed to be doing it with the glove, and he has minus two outs above average on the season. Brandon, that's 30th in the league. Or excuse me, tied for 27th in the league, if we really want to be particular. He's not providing anything at third. Give him some opportunities, allow him to show a little flexibility, and then you can keep his bat in the lineup and keep him developing on the major league level. The fact that Carlos Correa is on your team shouldn't hinder his development in the way that it now is. And this also scares me, their lack of willingness to do this, because they're a playoff team. Like, legitimately, they're in the playoff hunt right now. And at this rate, they'll be in the playoff hunt for the foreseeable future. I'm not so sure that Carlos Correa is gone at this deadline, like we all thought he would be.
No, but I don't know if you saw a report that came out yesterday that it was basically saying that he more than likely is only going to be a Twin for 1 year and will elect free agency after this year.
And that would be smart, but if you're Minnesota, you're not trading him when you're leading the division. You're not trading him when you're a clear playoff contender, because Boston showed again, Washington showed again, these wild card teams, it's all about getting hot at the right time. If you're in contention, you are a contender. If you're in playoff contention, you are therefore a contender to some extent. And I can't see them getting rid of him. So that's basically meaning the entire year is lost if they find a way to bring him back after next year. Like, if they give him another huge contract and no one else is willing to give him that money, because this is another loaded shortstop class where who knows if everyone's going to see their needs are met. There's so many situations where he could stay multiple years, I think, or at least he's going to stay the full year, and that's a wasted year for Royce Lewis in my eyes.
All right, up next, LJ, where do we want to pivot to? Do
I
we
believe
want to
we
go
will.
to Trevor Story? Do we want to go
Let's
to
start with Matt Harvey, seeing I'm already
Matt
his
Harvey?
name.
Yeah. Okay.
So
Matt
of
Harvey.
course, Matt Harvey, go ahead, Brandon. Did you have something to go with, or am I going?
I got it. Matt Harvey a few days ago suspended 60 games for violation of the joint drug agreement. I believe the suspension retroactively begins April 29th. He'll be able to return in late June. This was one of the guys that got called to testify in the trial regarding Tyler Skaggs. Excuse me, Tyler Skaggs' death. The guy on trial was their former communications director, Eric Kay. Harvey had to testify. He said that Kay was distributing fentanyl, and he was one of many players on the stand that said that they had been provided opiates by this guy. And this suspension is because he admitted that he gave Tyler Skaggs a controlled substance. A lot of people believe that the stuff that he gave Tyler Skaggs was what ended up killing him, if I have that correct, LJ.
Yes, that is correct.
Thoughts?
The league are such scumbags. Like, I can't be the only one here who I feel like no one's questioning this, and it's what's driving me insane, is the fact that they have no place here. They really have no right giving this 60-game suspension, and I'm not really sure what it does. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon. Answer me this. Riddle me this, Brandon. Did he or did he not face any legal repercussions for admitting to providing and using during his testimony?
Well, I don't think that you can. Okay, I'm not a lawyer. I know we have a doctor, Brandon, but there is certainly not lawyer Brandon. But if I'm not wrong, when you're in court, like obviously you have to admit all just the truth. I don't feel like you can get in trouble for something like that. Like maybe I'm completely wrong. Like
I think you're in, I think you're in part wrong, because it's like, it's one of those situations. I
there's
think
some
like,
sort of way where
if
you're
you admit to
protected.
murder on the stand,
No,
you're
I know, but you have to be protected to some extent, right?
yes, you
Like,
are, is my point. And so if this man was at minimum protected in the court of law, why is Major League Baseball any higher than that?
well, because you it sets a bad
No,
precedent
it doesn't. It doesn't though, Brandon, at all.
LJ, they if they don't give him a suspension, it's a bad precedent that they're okay with their players just
Okay, so what about
distributing.
Garrett Richards or any of these other guys that were indicated in this just because they didn't admit it? Are they all being investigated for
I'm
using
sure.
drugs?
Oh,
Either way, I don't see how this doesn't solve anything, because you know what is the ultimate punishment? And this is gonna sound, all right, that wasn't the phrase I should have started with. Ultimately, he's learning nothing from getting suspended 60 games. All he's getting is 60 games without starting in AAA. What ultimately drove him, and to my knowledge, at least from his testimony, he is clean now. And Tyler Skaggs dying was a big part of that. And him willingly testifying against this guy was a big part of him making right on these things. Brandon, he's not learning anything more from getting a suspension from the league. This is just them kicking him while he's down. It's kicking the league while he's down. There is nothing more, there's nothing. No bigger punishment, or that's not the right words either. I'm sorry, I'm not expressing this right, but do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Tyler Skaggs dying should have been enough for the league, for everyone. Like, that's the type of thing that puts the league on pause, all of these actions on pause when you see something like this happen. And yes, they should crack down on these 100%. If they find out it's happening, you go after them. But I don't think you go after them in this case, because first off, it feels like overreach and achieves nothing other than making the league look like this big powerhouse, when really it's just, I don't see a point. I'm not pleased with it.
all right, up next, where are we going, LJ? Are we talk what's our positive story? Because so far we've had
Yeah.
two stories that got me down in the dumps here.
Tremendously negative stories to start this thing off.
Oh, actually, can I add something in real quick? Because I know that we weren't planning on talking about it today, but just real quick.
Yes.
The Cardinals brought up like their two top
Oh my gosh,
prospects.
yes. Here we go. Feel good story, because I was excited about this one too and I forgot.
Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, both promoted for this weekend series. Tyler O'Neill's going to the IL, and this is the corresponding roster move that they made. LJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but Liberatore was on Team USA.
He was a big part of Team USA. I mean, you're talking about, he was probably the best pitcher on that team, objectively. I mean, he looked nasty. I've been really excited for this call up for a while. Overall, he's got really good stuff, and he's gonna be a fun pitcher to watch as he starts to get through this. I was absolutely pumped up when I saw this. And there's also one more angle to this that's not just exciting for Cardinals fans to have, both two of their top prospects be coming up and being able to make an impact on a team who did just have a down in the dumps weekend with the or week with the Mets, just deciding to come in and be like, all right, show's over, I'm gonna go ahead and end your career at least a couple times, particularly Pete Alonso going off last night. Brandon, I'm not sure if you saw this, but these guys have been friends for more than a long time.
Who's that?
Nolan Gorman and
Libertor.
Matthew Liberatore.
Interesting. Yeah, because they were picked around. It wasn't the same draft, but maybe 1 year after one another. Because Gorman, he's like the num he's a top 25 prospect in the league. He's been very highly touted. I know that. He's got crazy amounts of power.
Yeah, I'm pulling up a Bleacher Report article on this right now,
Oh
but I
wow, yeah,
believe
something. Says they've been friends since childhood.
Yeah, it's like I saw somewhere that it was literally like since they were 5 years old. These two
Wow.
guys have been friends. Like this is the equivalent of if the Magic draft Chet Holmgren this year and you get Jalen Suggs and Chet. I mean, that won't happen. It's just not gonna happen. They're not taking him with the first pick. They will take Jabari Smith. But ultimately this is such a fun feel-good story. Nolan Gorman, I mean, yes, he's making his debut tonight. I'm not actually sure if he's going to be able to start Saturday. Jose Quintana is a. Is he lefty or righty?
Lefty.
Yeah, so he's probably not going to. He,
They'll probably put Sosa in.
no, yeah, Nolan Gorman's not going to play, unfortunately, tomorrow. But how cool would that be? Maybe they will put him in just to give him reps
Geez,
rather than.
we got manager LJ over here. Are you Oliver or what's his name? Oh, Olivier Marmol. Are you him? You seem to know a lot
Yes.
about exactly what they're gonna be doing here.
Yes. They all right, in theory they probably won't have him in against Jose Quintana, seeing he's literally the only actual pitcher on this Pittsburgh Pirates roster. But I would like to see them do it. Please, can you? Because how cool would it be if Matthew Liberatore's first start in the majors, he had his best friend right behind him, having his back.
And you're
Speaking
talking
of.
about
Good.
how a Gorman number 21 overall prospect, Liberatore number 45, and for a Cardinals team that's only 2 games over 500, they could certainly use the reinforcements here.
Yeah, and again, this is a good 2 games over team that hasn't quite found their stride, but this is the type of thing that just injects that life into a team that's something that this team is desperately in need of. But I was going to flip this over to another, just giving them props. I believe it was from yesterday's game. Brandon, did you see the play with Yu Darvish and Robinson Cano from the other day?
I don't think so,
I
no.
just have to commend them on fantastic baseball because I'm not going to be able to pull it up here, but I can describe it. It was basically, again, it was so obvious. Robbie Cano, grounder up the middle. He's right there because of the shift. Wisely calls off Yu Darvish, and he's fully confident in the vet to be able to get in there. He doesn't try to break up the play. It was just, again, really well played team baseball that just has to get shouted out, I think, here.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I believe we're gonna talk about now. Do you want to talk about Trevor Story, LJ? His three
Yes.
home runs.
Spoiler.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
We have the first. Honestly, I'm pretty sure this is the first Bingo Bango Yahtzee Supreme that I'm cognizant of this year. I can't remember another three home run game. Judge had one like last night, didn't he?
Vladdy Jr.
Oh, right. Or he
Anthony
didn't talk about that one.
Rizzo.
Doesn't count. Short porch.
Got it. Okay.
Mickey Mouse Park. Either way, no. Trevor Story, again, kind of this has to be his welcome to Boston moment. He goes 4 for 4, scores 5 runs, hits 3 home runs, and drives in 7 in a really great day for the offense here for Boston against the Seattle Mariners in that series opener. Brandon, did you get to see any of it?
Yes, I did see the highlights. Story looked like his old self. The swing is back. And hopefully he can, this can jump start him a little here. We've all been waiting for the breakout. He's too good of a player for him to not really put it together. And LJ, I think it's funny that you used to hate Trevor Story, and then he signed with the Red Sox, and you said, "No, I take back everything I ever said previously about him." And
I
then
was
he
trying to
starts
hype
playing
myself up.
bad. He starts playing bad, which you already knew he was bad because you told us he was
Yes.
bad, and that's why you hated him. And then you start to get mad at him that he's bad, but like you already knew. You already
I
knew he
wasn't.
wasn't good.
We all know that isn't why I was mad at him and still kind of mad at him. I'm never going to be able to I don't think I'm ever going to be able to love Trevor Story. First off, I was clearly, again, I wasn't a fan before he got to Boston, but I can sort of back him if he's on my team. Then, of course, all the Xander Bogaerts stuff comes up, and can you blame me for seeing him as the heir to Xander? Like, that's not deserved. It's not deserved for him, but that's just the reality of the matter, and that really kind of hurts him in terms of his likability, his image in Boston, the fact that everyone already knows that he's going to be shortstop next year.
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly excited for him. I want him to do well, but ultimately, he's just not all that likable, or at least lovable for me. Like, I'm lukewarm on him right now. I'm excited. This is a fantastic game for the team, and I'm really appreciative of it. Like, I'm not sure if you saw, I already started our week six or week seven player of the week thing. I only have one name put in, but
So you're just certain that he's gonna be the best shortstop.
I'm positive because first off, he's going to be the second best second baseman, but th think about how bad second base is.
Yeah.
Like, we've noticed time and time again that the numbers are consistently weak. I'm willing to bet he's going to have at least a decent week defensively. And with seven RBIs right now, that seven RBI game is enough to give him the player of the week most weeks. Like, if we had a second baseman with seven RBIs, we're probably taking him.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Yeah. And he's got three home runs already, and he's got about six more games to five or six more games to play in between that time to add to those numbers.
Well, LJ, I think how much time we got here? We got
Oh, I had a couple more thoughts on that game, actually.
on the Red Sox.
Yes, because did you see what happened in the top of the sixth?
So I know that like at one point in the game it was actually like still a close, like reasonably good game, and then it just kind of got blown
It
out of
got out of hand.
yeah.
So basically, yeah, it was Rich Hill kind of gets hit around in the second inning. They end up pulling him after giving up four over two, give Houck the time, which he absolutely looked amazing. Actually, his signature slider, the thing he got up to the league for, already changed it, already found something that worked better and looked ridiculous last night in its debut. But they tie it up and it's 4-4 for most of the game. Then they go to pull George Kirby, but they decide to do it only after they're sure that Sergio Romo is warmed up. So they had George Kirby come out and just give his take the warm-up pitches, and by the end of it they realize Sergio Romo's ready. So they decide to go out and pull George Kirby before the at bat before the beginning of the inning. So he goes in, sits down, Sergio Romo comes running all the way out. Then the umps stop and they realize, hold up, we can't do that. Apparently, if you throw all your warm-up pitches, I had no clue this was the rule. If you throw all your warm-up pitches, you have to face the first batter. So they made him come back out of the dugout after he's already mentally checked way the heck out. And I gotta see who it was. Excuse me. Yeah, it was Alex Verdugo is the guy George Kirby has to come back into face. He puts one absolutely right down the middle. Alex Verdugo slaps it into the center field wall. They then, after that one at bat, go out, bring in Sergio Romo, and it was all downhill from there. Trevor Story drives in that run. Then the seventh and eighth were unbelievable, or particularly the seventh, unbelievable control issues for this team. I mean, we're talking about who was it? Mills. Blanking on his name. I'm sorry. You have any idea?
Yeah, I see. Let's see. I just clicked on this guy's name. It's not loading. Mills on the Mariners.
Mills on the Mariners. Mills on the Mariners. Honestly, that's got to be in the titles. Dude, what?
Wyatt
Dude,
Mills. Wyatt
Wyatt
Mills.
Mills. No, Mills on the Mariners. He throws eight consecutive balls to start the inning. Or start his outing, loads the bases up, walks the guy in, and then hits his last batter.
LJ, I hate to tell you, I don't think Mills is on the Mariners anymore.
You don't think
He's
he's on
not.
the Mariners anymore?
No, I think he got sent down after
This
the
isn't a
game.
no. Come on. This isn't a
Yep, he got
Brooks Christie
optioned
bat.
today. He got optioned literally today.
It's not like this is a Brooks Christie-esque outing here. Like,
Apparently, it was LJ.
unbelievable. Sleeping on him.
I mean, LJ, he faced two batters and didn't throw a strike. Or no, he had 12 pitches, three strikes. Not ideal.
Unideal. And the three strikes were literally, I believe, if I got the at bat cracked or it was the next guy, strike, ball, foul tip off the nub of Vasquez's bat as it almost hits him in the elbow. Check swung, hit him in the elbow.
Nice.
That was the at bat. The most wonderful thing I've ever seen. And it was absolutely beautiful. And then the next guy comes in and walks a batter too. It was absolutely horrifying to watch if you're a Mariners fan. Very sad day. But either way,
Well,
that is kind of indicative of their season so far. They need arms there, big time. If we've learned anything, they're willing to spend the money. They went out, they got Wobby Way. Wobby Way hasn't worked out so well.
Logan Gilbert's nice.
Logan Gilbert is nice. Honestly, I think George Kirby's nice too. Like,
Robbie Ray's been actually, I think, a little better than you think.
I disagree.
The strikeout numbers are still there.
Yeah,
He
I know, but you're giving up.
has nasty stuff still.
Yes, and he's pulling this year's Zach Wheeler, is essentially what he's doing. He's going to face a lot of guys. He's going to have good enough stats in terms of doing the one thing he's supposed to be doing definitively, which is not allowing runners to touch home plate.
It's
And
the bullpen that's the problem
the
with
bullpen
Cincinnati.
is the problem, but I think they, again, if we're to take this team as a contender, like this is a team that should be viewed as a title contender in the next year or the year after, would you say?
The year after.
They're going to need at least two more arms in the rotation, let alone the bullpen.
I agree. I agree. Well, we are running short on time. I'm just going to run through a few matchups that I find really interesting tonight. That I unfortunately will not be able to watch as I will be at work. But I think Julio Urias and Ranger Suarez, we saw the Phillies play extremely well against the Dodgers last weekend. They're facing off again this weekend, but in Philadelphia. Keep an eye out on that series. Tarik Skubal going up against Aaron Civale. LJ Skubal has pitched 14 innings in a row without allowing an earned run. That's the longest such streak for starting pitchers right now. And then Nasty Nestor back on the mound today. Oh, no, the game literally just got canceled as I refresh the page. Okay, the Yankees game got rained out apparently.
Nasty
So.
Nestor was too nasty for today's game, so they're going to have to reschedule.
Well, go watch Wobby Way versus Michael Wacha then. It sets
Wobby
it up.
Way, honestly, I'm honestly kind of, I shouldn't get my hopes too far up, but things are kind of turning around here. You just beat Houston. In my opinion, you're on your way to beating Seattle here because you're going to take this game. Mark my words, the Red Sox will win tonight.
Okay. Michael Wacha's gonna keep on shoving and
That's all he does, and that's what he did last year too. So
yeah.
you can't tell me he doesn't.
This dude turned around his career so fast. Like, I don't understand what happened.
I'm not questioning a thing. No, I'm kidding. It's obviously, again, it's the Tampa effect because, like, you go to that's how this stuff works. You go in, you let Tampa revive your career. You change up your entire whether it's your pitching motion, your pitch mix, whatever they decide to do with you. They just know how to make pitchers better.
Absolutely. Well, it's a good spot to wrap it up for today. Thank you all for listening. Check us out Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at MLB Daily Pod, and we will see you. Have a good one.
See you manana.